Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
New day, new you. Wake your ass up.
Only
strong, strong, strong vibes.
Fucking gratitude.
Be mindful. Listening to May I Elaborate? Sound wisdom from me, J.B. Smooth. Woo! No, I want to start off today by reciting a couple of verses from one of my favorite damn poems. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big leagues. Getting our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We're moving on the fuck up. Now, if you listen closely to that damn poem, you'll have noticed that it teaches a very important lesson. And that lesson is getting your damn turn at bat. It's one of the most important things you can work towards. So don't take that bat lightly.
Yeah, but you know that's not a poem.
It's a fucking poem, Miles.
It's a theme to the Jefferson's, but right. I get you're leading it to seems like a really good point. So go ahead.
You're wrong. People have been saying that shit since medieval times when motherfucker was up in the top of castles and shit. Rapunzel's boyfriend recited that shit back in the days.
Bats didn't exist then, like a bat. It's a bat in the lyric. It says bat, like a baseball bat.
Thank you. Maybe a club, right?
A bat is a club. And back in the days, they had spikes in the motherfucker to fuck people up when they were fighting and shit. Medieval shit. These motherfuckers don't know about medieval shit. And her boyfriend was down there. He said, Rapunzel, let your hair down and shit. And she let that fucking hair down and shit. The hair fucking fell out her fucking all down. And this motherfucker climbed up that fucking hair into the fucking room. And they fucked. And that's it. That's all fucking happened. They don't put that in the books. They don't put that part in the books because it was a fucking nursery rhyme and shit. You know, like, they can't put that shit in books.
It really makes sense because you said Rapunzel climbed on up, so that's moving on up.
There you go. I don't know what I'm talking about here.
It makes sense if you try to make it sense, but I would suggest for the rest of this podcast, don't try to make it.
And getting your turn at bat means she already had a boyfriend already, and this motherfucker was at work, and this motherfucker climbed up there and hit it. See? Right. Getting his turn at bat. That's all I'm saying.
Is that what you wanted to do with your opening? Is just talk about...
You have to understand that most of your life is spent out on the field, working hard, playing defense, doing your best to keep your ass in the game, in the fucking game. And some of your time is spent on sitting your ass on the bench watching others play the damn game. See that? Metaphorically speaking, you're on the bench of life. Maybe your ass injured. And maybe your ass got some damn stomach virus and your ass is sitting near the damn bathroom. Or it's like, I know it's kind of ironically enough. It's kind of like you're the coach of a little league team and shit. And your team make the playoffs. You made the playoffs. You made the fucking playoffs. And then to celebrate, the coach took the kids to a pizza shop and had pizza. But the pizza was fucked up. And now all the kids got diarrhea and can't play in the goddamn playoffs. They're all shitting. See? That's fucked up. Now you're all on the bench. We all got diarrhea. And now you've got to forfeit the fucking game.
It's not the coach's fault, though. I mean, it's the right thing to do to celebrate. You take the kids out.
Kids love pizza. They love pizza. But they don't want pizza to fuck their stomachs up. They got young stomachs. And you take them to that filthy-ass place that you like. Kids' bellies can't take that.
First of all, kids, they can handle way more than adults. So if he was an adult going to this place, he would be sicker before the kids, because kids get damn near eat anything.
Yeah, yeah. You x-ray a kid's stomach and there's all sorts of stuff in there.
You know how many times kids ate pennies and shit and the pennies pop up in their stool? Come on, man. Plenty of times. You tell them go to the bathroom and you hear change come out their ass. Change is falling in the toilet bowl.
They eat a quarter and five nickels come out.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what life is all about sometimes. Or maybe you're sitting there just waiting for your fucking turn it back. The question is, while you're sitting there and waiting, what are you doing to prepare? You know, are you sitting there psyching yourself out of thinking about all the ways you can fail? Or are you thinking the moment is too big for you in particular? Or the competition is too great for you? Now you're fucking scared of them? Are you subconsciously planning to fail? You don't know you're trying to. Some people plan to fail and they don't know they're fucking doing it. They're talking their way out of shit. That's diarrhea. That's the diarrhea. Don't fuck. That's that pizza. Or are you visualizing success? Are you seeing yourself winning that goddamn, winning in the playoffs and moving on to the championship game? Or are you picturing your big hit, your big catch, your big fucking half-court shot? Shit. So I ask you this. What are you going to do with your turn it back? Rail, sometimes you got to ask people, what are you going to do with your turn it back? You're going to put your fucking hip out and make the ball hit you so you can get out of swinging at the fucking ball that you're going to fucking miss? Some people will take that fucking the ball hitting their ass just to get out of fucking swinging. Woo! I don't want to go metaphor. I don't want to go deep metaphor up in here. But some people would rather you hit them with the fucking ball rather than them swing. They want you to put them on base instead of working for it. God damn it, people. Well, let me get deep this morning on this.
That was really deep, actually. I didn't know what, not to the end, though. Like, all the other stuff, shit was weird. But that made sense, actually. Like, some people rather
it's
get
normally
hit.
That way.
Yeah.
They put their whole hip out there. They hold their hip out for the ball to hit them in the fucking hip. Let me ask you,
you guys are both, you're both incredible stand-ups. I know there's got to be that feeling before you get out on stage as you get ready to take that at bat. Like, what's your mentality to go out there and get a hit? And then, have you ever seen a comic who, when you were watching them, looked like they went out there to put their hip to get hit by a pitch? And what does that look
That's
like?
Interesting. I know with me, I guess at this point, too, I've been doing this a while, like, I kind of don't give a fuck no more, right? Like, well, I just kind of go on stage and whatever I think is funny, it's just what it's going to be. Like, I don't know. I can't even care if they're going to get it or not. I just got to be good enough to make sure I take them on this ride and hopefully they jump on with me. But, man, I think you get to a point where you're like, fuck it. But you know what's funny? With the metaphor of comics getting hit by a pitch, the ones who won't stop doing old material. I think that represents that shit, right? Where they won't do shit new. They had only whatever worked on Comic View in 1995 is what the fuck they gonna keep doing for the rest of it.
Because it gets them on base.
It keep holding their goddamn hip out, and then they get home, take a shower, and they see that bruise on their fucking hip. Shit hurt. That shit hurt for a week before that fucking bruise should turn purple and shit.
Yeah.
You keep taking that motherfucking hit because you're scared to swing at that motherfucker because you don't want to miss.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be like that, people. People don't fucking be like that. Don't keep holding your goddamn goofy-ass hip out there because just to fucking get on base.
Yeah. Well, I think our guest said it best. Like, it feels like you guys are both hugely successful, so I imagine the goal is to get to the point where you're not thinking. Where it just becomes who you are. You're not worried. You're not worried about what the pitch is going to throw. You're ready to hit whatever comes at you, and God you don't even got to think about it.
Fucking right, Miles. That's exactly how.
Because if you get stuck in your head,
well, that's the scary part too. I remember telling somebody recently. Matter of fact, it might have been Jerry Seinfeld actually. Like I got to the point where like I just do this when I feel like it, right? And that was my goal, right? To like not stress about having to go do shows. Because I need the money. And so my goal was to make enough money consistently where, okay, when I want to go do stand-up, I don't have to be able to do it at a big theater or none of that. I can just go to do a room, and that's good for me. Like, I can just do it when I feel like, I don't even know if I'm getting paid half the time no more. That makes me happy. Because now I'm not stressed. Because that's a part of the stress too, right? You're like, dude, I got to. Because, you know, we've had promoters that damn near they want to pay you if you had an okay set. They're like, brother, hey, man, I know I'm supposed to. What you just did wasn't shit.
Goddamn right. You gotta have a different motivation behind that shit. Just in case shit goes sideways. You gotta have a different motivation, a different reason for your what your purpose is hopping on that goddamn stage. What's first? Is it the money first? Or is it the reps? It's gratification. It's hearing that fucking laughter over and over. People love fucking laughing. Are you doing this shit to help these motherfuckers in the audience? We psychiatrists sometimes.
You gotta
have your purpose.
And who's it for? Like, that's why you watch sports, right? You got somebody who's good in the regular season, and then when it's game time, playoffs, big moments, they're in their head. They're doing it for the wrong reason. They're trying to score 30 instead of letting 30 come.
Woo-wee. You're goddamn right.
That's so funny. That's what I loved about Michael Jordan and Kobe in a way. Like, it almost felt like the audience was silent to them sometimes. Like, the cheering. Yeah. Like, they was just so laser-focused. Like, you couldn't, you know what I mean? Like, you can see, like, I see people like James Harden, even LeBron sometimes, they just look distracted.
Yep, in their motherfucking head. And
I was going to say James Harden, but I'm glad you took the hit when you said James Harden.
Some people are willing to go back to that motherfucking pizza shop in order the works, put the works on that bitch, praying to get sick, so they don't got to show the fuck up when the time comes. God damn it.
Ticky-tack injury will keep them out of the game when you're scared to be in the game in the first place.
You know what fuck your stomach up? Them motherfucking anchovies. That'll fuck your stomach up. Little motherfucking fish on a goddamn salty pizza. That'll fuck anchovies and pineapple on the same motherfucking pizza. That'll fuck your shit up. That'll fuck your stomach up. You'll miss the playoffs. You miss all that shit.
Well, before we go too far in that direction, hi, I'm Miles, and thanks for joining us for a new day of May I Elaborate, sound wisdom from J.B. Smooth. On each episode, we discuss a quote from a daily calendar, see if JB can squeeze even more wisdom and inspiration out of it. Now, normally you're stuck listening to the two of our voices, but today we have a treat for you. Joining us is a man on a mission. This actor, writer, producer, and stand-up comedian extraordinaire is in the midst of an incredible and well-deserved run. From the moment he pulled up in a security vehicle and saved Daniel Kaluuya, he has gone on to have his own sitcom, starring films with Sandra Bullock, John Malkovich, Issa Rae, Lakeith Stanfield, Eric Andre, Kevin Hart, Ryan Reynolds, and most recently Ben Affleck. He has had his own sitcom, Rel, and starred in his own damn movie, Vacation Friends, that I love. Not only that, IMDb has listed that he has 7 more projects in development that haven't even come out yet. Please welcome the incredibly busy Lil Rel Howery.
What up?
My man.
It's crazy when people read the resume. You're like, damn, I did do all that.
I did do all that shit.
I did all that. And more. I couldn't put it all on here.
Can't put it all a bit.
You know, we just got a 40-minute podcast. Rel, just to prep you in a bit, we're deconstructing a proverb. But before we get to that, while doing this podcast, we've noticed that while some of our listeners seem to glean a lot of enlightenment from JB's unique take on complex quotes and proverbs, there also seems to be need for JB to offer out his very specific brand of advice on some of the personal and day-to-day issues of our wonderful listeners. So, Rel, please help us as we now present some of our listeners' questions in our segment, Ask JB. Okay, this one comes from Dankin Stantanitos. Hope I got this. Stantanios. I don't know. Get a simpler name. I broke my knee bad, 13-plus pieces, 3 years ago and still grinding through rehab. How can I keep motivated? So 13 places he broke his knee 3 years ago, grinding through rehab. How can I keep motivated? How do you help this guy?
Did he say broke my knee bad?
Broke my knee bad, yeah.
Is it a version of breaking your knee good? Like, that's so weird to say that. Like, I think a broke knee explains it, but.
They got a TV show about that shit called Breaking Bad. It's a TV show and shit.
Well, I will say, I completely hear you, but I also say, you can break your knee. He broke it in 13 places. That's bad. Even the doctor had to say, this one's bad. So how do you help this guy?
That's a good question. What the fuck did you do to break your knee into 13 pieces? Did you do one stupid thing and break your knee in 13 pieces? Or did you do 13 separate dumbass things and break your knee one piece at a goddamn time? If you want my fucking advice, first of all, 13 is a fucked up number. That's a fucked up ass number. Woo! Friday the 13th. You know, there were several movies about that shit where motherfuckers run around killing motherfuckers and shit.
It's an unlucky number.
Unlucky fucking number. That's what you fucked up at, number one. Fucking 13. You should have done? When you broke that shit in 13 pieces, you should have took your fucking finger and bent your finger backward and broke that bitch so you have 14! See? That's what you fucked up at. 14 would have been a better number.
But inside the knee sounds... Because I... like Tanya Harding, right? Who got hit with the wrench or whatever it was, the skater? Yeah,
she hit Nancy Kerrigan. Tanya hit Nancy.
Yeah.
But they never said how many pieces that the knee was broke. This is the first time I ever thought about it. Like, wait a minute, if somebody hits your knee, it does break it to pieces.
Mm-hmm. That makes you think that you had a fragile ass knee from the fucking get-go. That bitch shut it. Like a piece of fine china in that motherfucker.
That Sam Jackson character in Unbreakable is all brittle. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What's that fucking name? Mr. Glass. That's that fucking name.
Because that's shattered.
Are you Mr. Glass?
Break or you could shatter. Like, that's a shatter.
When you're goddamn fragile, you fuck your knee up, right? You go, oh, my fucking knee. When you grab your fucking knee, you break both your fucking hands because you're that fragile.
Yeah, that's a bad position to be in. You need some calcium.
You need some fucking calcium.
He needs some vitamins. He needs some calcium, some milk.
Yeah, a lot.
Milk.
You need to remain motionless, too.
Shit, you need a milk bath. You need to soak your shit in milk.
Yeah.
Woo! Here's my advice, though. You use that rehab time to rebuild that fucking loose change of a fucking knee. And while you're at it, remind yourself of how much better your life would be moving forward, knowing that you got whatever stupid shit you did to hurt yourself out of your fucking system. Whether it was hang gliding, running with the fucking bulls. Now, let me tell you something. That running with the bulls will fuck your bones up. I'm telling you right now, keep fucking around with them goddamn bulls. Keep letting them bulls chase your ass around and gore you in the asshole. See? That's what break your ass bone.
Yeah. You don't just trip and break your knee in 13, but you're doing some, you have to own 13 pieces.
Tell you, Mom,
that you were doing some stupid, unnecessary stuff.
I mean, it sounds like a gambling debt, if I can be honest. Yeah. Like, he owes somebody some money, and they had to threaten you, like, yo, you don't give us our money, we gonna break your knee in 13 places. Well,
you're goddamn right. See, and that's what they say all the time. They say,
Joey, go break his knee. Go break the guy's fucking knee in 13 places. Go ahead. Go do it.
There you go. See, somewhere along the line,
teach him a lesson.
You fucked up somewhere. You did some shit that made somebody mad, and you heard them say, break that bitch in 13 pieces. All that shit will fuck you up, man. Car fucking jumping. When motherfuckers drive a car at you and you want to fucking jump over the goddamn car. You do all kind of stupid shit until that stupid shit catches up with us. Now, trust me, your ass maybe a step or two slower, but your life will get better because of your newly attained knowledge. You just learned some shit. Don't borrow money from motherfuckers who will break your goddamn knee.
Yeah. You don't ever hear anybody in the hospital saying, this is the second time I've broken my knee in 13 places. It's one time. You learn from that or else.
If you don't learn from that shit, it's you. Maybe it's fucking you. And that's what we want to let people know out there and listen to our amazing podcast, that you can better you. Just watch your fucking mouth and watch who you borrow money from.
Next question. This comes from Selena Akile, 2929. How do I get out of my own way? Developing my own stream, I'm nervous.
Damn.
Now, you guys are bold. From the turn at bat, you guys are both. You don't doubt yourselves. Here's somebody doubting themselves. How do you get out of your own way?
How do I get out of my own way? Developing my own stream. I'm nervous. Yeah, man.
Go ahead, because I don't even know how to answer that, really.
It's a hard one. By the way, you phrase this question about being nervous to develop your own stream made me think about using a urinal at a public restroom. Now, some men have a hard time urinating next to somebody. They get urinary anxiety. But there's one thing that you can't hold your damn pee forever. Pee got to come the fuck out. Eventually, that stream has to come out. Now, you can stand there waiting for a stall, but proper etiquette dictates that stalls are not for peeing only. You know, you can pee in a stall, but only if it's accompanied by shit. See? So if you don't have a shit to give, I recommend that regardless of who you feel is around, you waiting to fucking judge that, you probably step up to that fucking urinal and let your creative stream fucking flow.
Well, that was a metaphor. That was a metaphor and a half. So you took the stream, made it a literal pee stream.
Goddamn right.
And said you just can't worry about who's to the left of you, who's to the right, who's judging, you know, perhaps your equipment. You just got to do it because you can't hold it in.
And not to get too deep in this shit, but look, here's how life is in a nutshell. You You can pee and not shit, but you can't shit and not pee. You understand?
You see? I don't understand that at all.
The body won't allow you.
You can't the body shit without peeing.
Yeah. Can't shit without peeing. But you can pee without shit. Doctor, that's how life is.
That's how life is, goddammit.
Think about that. Think about that shit next time you, people out there, think about that when you're in your movement. They understand that you can do one thing without doing the other, but you can't do the other thing without doing the other. That's how life is sometimes. You got to take the good with the fucking bad.
I got to piggyback on this a little, right? Because I get
it. Okay, please do.
With the urinal. Uh-huh. Because she's in her own way, right? And that's because of the insecurity part, right? When you go to the bathroom and you pee in, and look, fellas can admit to this or not, you do hear the other pees. So you like...
You do.
You like, dang, I don't want them to think I have a light pee. You know what I mean? Or like, I don't have... Yeah. Or I do like the splatter pee. You know what I mean? So that builds insecurity because you're scared to hear... You don't want nobody to judge you based off your pee strength.
I think you have breached a topic that is just not shared. Like, I don't think men talk about that enough. I don't think we have a forum to talk about it. Don't. But certainly, you hear it. You hear somebody with powerful pee next to you, and then you got this little pee coming out, and it's like, did I even have to pee? Like, do I need this dude judging?
Your shit coming out like a goddamn eyedropper. Like a fucking eyedropper. Like Vaseline. Your shit come out like Vaseline in this motherfucker.
And you ever go to Dodger Stadium? Last I was there, they have a trough. So there's not even a urinal with dividers. Y'all are just peeing into a stream, essentially. So that's a lot of judgment there.
Oh, that sink urinal. You know, like a big sink.
Yeah. It's that big,
You got to be careful. You can't lean on that motherfucker either. You put the lean on, you get a fucking wet line across the front of your fucking pants and shit. You fucked up.
Yeah. A lot of splatter.
And then the motherfucker comes in there, and I don't know what the fuck this was for. They keep pouring buckets of fucking ice in the goddamn trough. Oh, they're trying to make fucking cold pee? Oh, what the fuck? Why they put ice in the bitch? What's the ice doing?
Some people got hot pee. I mean, I don't know that there's a need to cool it down, but
a pee beverage in this motherfucker? What the fuck is ice for? You're pouring crushed ice in the motherfucking urinal.
I think you both gave the advice of, listen, you got to do what you got to do. And just, you know, the anxiety is there, certainly, but you just have to let it go. You got to, if you have a stream that has to come out, you got to let it come out. I don't know that I agree with you can't shit and not pee. I think if that's an issue that you have, maybe adult diapers or a doctor are your next step.
Wait, no, Miles, you fucking go shit and try to hold your pee at the same time.
All right, after the podcast, I will, and I'll report back. And now on to our quote. Today's quote comes from the calendar, Keep Calm and Carry On. You guys ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Humor is all about gaining perspective. Humor returns our gladness, and with gladness comes generosity. Humor returns us to the light and makes us light. And that's by Giannina Bracci. It's a long one.
That's a long one, man. I like to read them over just so I can absorb what's happening here. You know, humor is all about gaining perspective. Humor returns our gladness. And with gladness comes generosity. Humor returns us to the light and makes us light. God damn, it's deep. Okay. I got
but two can't get two better people to attack this quote. I mean,
you can't.
It's deep. It's on the surface it seems like a bunch of sentences, but I think it's deep on the power of humor. We should get to it after the break. So let's take a break and come right back and dig in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Man Elaborate. Sound wisdom from J.B. Smoove. The quote we're looking at today is, humor is all about gaining perspective. Humor returns our gladness. And with gladness comes generosity. Humor returns us to the light and makes us light. What do you guys got?
You know what? This is deep. You know, and I break this. See, sometimes I take these things, Rail, and I break them down into portions. Little bite-sized fucking portions, so people out there aren't taken aback or confused by what the fuck we're trying to do here. And this is for everyone out there listening. So here's what I say. Perspective is a hell of a thing. Sometimes when you ask someone their opinion, they'll hit you with a, well, from where I stand, see that? They're going to give you an informed opinion based on where they are, not where your ass is. They put this shit on them. From where I fucking stand, and that means that's their fucking attitude about it. That's their opinion about the shit. This is how they do what the fuck they do. For instance, you're in a fucking alley throwing some shit out in the dumpster. You feel a slight drizzle, so you start to head in just as a vicious, stray-ass dog shows you his fucking teeth and corners your ass. This motherfucker got your ass cornered. Growl on this shit, showing his goddamn teeth and shit like that. You and his ass got history already. At that moment, you look up and see a motherfucker looking down at you from its goddamn window. He's yelling something to you, but you can't hear his ass. So you yell something to his ass, but he can't hear your ass. Two people joined in a situation that is being experienced from two different perspectives. Now, to the man in the alley, his ass is in danger. He's in the rain being confronted by a vicious-ass dog. The man sees the same details, only he sees them differently. From his perspective, the dog seems friendly. To him, that man is playing with his fucking dog. So why is he yelling at the man? And in the alley, you ask. Because from the perspective of his apartment window, he can see one more thing. That drizzle ain't rain. Some kids are pissing on that man from the roof. You see that? it's all about perspective. This man being peed on. This motherfucker being peed on by several fucking young people.
How did he get it back to pee? That is where.
Yeah.
How did it get back?
Once something is in his head, it stays in his head. And I will say this, Ralph, just to let you know, sometimes we're going to go on long journeys, really long journeys. I think you saw that in the beginning. And you just got to hold on until the end, because then somewhere around the end, a point comes.
You see, and the dog is facing the guy being growled at. This motherfucker's over there. He can't see. He can't fucking see and feel the energy of this goddamn dog.
Before you continue, I just want to just grab this. So you're dealing with, you said you wanted to take it in pieces. Humor is all about gaining perspective. And I say, you know, in our current day, when people want to get offended at just about anything anyone says, they're losing sight of the fact that it's all about perspective. It's all about from where you stand when you see something, and maybe you're not seeing the whole picture on it. Is that what you're saying, as these terrible kids pee on a man for no damn reason?
That's real.
There's several perspectives, four fucking perspectives going on here at the same goddamn time. Yeah. I was going to talk about pieces. Let's start with these bad motherfucking kids on the rooftop, right? Pissing on this fucking man. Right? And then let's go to this goddamn dog. You don't know this motherfucking dog. You don't know who dog this is. The dog is facing the fucking man who's cornered and the motherfucker's growling. The motherfucker in the window watching can't see the goddamn dog teeth because he's from a different perspective. He see the front of the dog. He see a man doing this. He thinks the motherfucker's playing with his goddamn dog. Yeah. See, there's four things going on here. There's fear from the motherfucker being cornered. There's a dog who's hungry. There's several motherfuckers up there pissing on a man down there. And then there's a motherfucker in the window watching this shit saying, wow, amusing. Drinking a cup of coffee and shit. He don't know what the fuck is happening. Yeah. He can't even see the goddamn kids pissing on the road.
What you got for this, Rel?
You know because you just hit something too, right? When, especially when it comes to humor. He makes sense about perspective because it is perspective. And I think, you know, the job as a comic, you know, I think, like, when we think about the greatest, right? Like Richard and Eddie, they were able to deliver certain things from a personal perspective first. And then if you related to it, fine. If you didn't, this is my story. So I say that to say this. I just think, like, humor is, I think it's supposed to entertain people, make people laugh, make people feel good, which is why, like, when it gets mean spirited, it's almost wrong. You know what I mean? I hate mean comics. Like, this is mean for no reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a mean comic, you don't care what you say, who you hurt, whatever the case may be. You're just going to say whatever that is what it is. So, like, I think when you get back to the root of what laughter does, like, every time I hear somebody tell a story, I think Bernie Mac used to say this, he started doing comedy because he wanted to make his mom laugh. He wanted to make her laugh. And so that's what laughter's supposed to do. It's supposed to bring you joy. It ain't supposed to be hurtful.
Yeah, right. And that's where that's what I mean by breaking it into pieces, Miles. Take this last line. Humor returns us to the light and makes us light.
Yeah.
See, when it's reciprocated and you get that fucking that feel good back to you, you give. You fucking give. And when you give and you get that shit back, see, you become light.
Yeah.
You become light. See, your fucking tension ain't fucking heightened. You are in a good place because you found a fucking path and a lane that's going to be beneficial to your fucking thought and your movement and your fucking thought process. Meaning you can give more. You can
that's
give
real
more
talk.
Knowing what the fuck people want. You can give more.
That's the great thing about a great joke, right? I know every time somebody makes me laugh really hard, I can't wait to tell somebody else what just made me laugh.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how that's supposed to go. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's the joy part of it, you know.
Yeah.
That's the joy part of it.
But I would also say, well, I say two things in that. This is a tough one because you guys are both professional comedians, but I once heard Billy Crystal say that a good comic, you go to a comedy club and you watch a good comic, the next day you can repeat their jokes and get a laugh. A great comic, you go see them and the next day you try to repeat their jokes and you can't get a laugh because you can't do it the way they did it because it was so personal to them and so locked into them that you can't duplicate it. And I think that, I mean, you just made me think of that. And then also something else, JB started out by saying where I stand. And I think that's the important thing that gets lost in comedy now. It's like that thing that you just told, JB, has four perspectives. If the dog was telling the story, who knows? That dog might have some puppies that they were trying to protect, but somebody doesn't understand it and thinks the dog is a vicious dog and doesn't understand from where the dog was coming from. Or those kids, that might be their stepfather who abuses their mom, and that's why they're peeing on them, but they just look like bad kids. So when you don't take the time to understand who's telling the story, then that's where you can get offended and miss the point. That's
goddamn thing. Right.
That's great. No, that's like, it's so funny. Even when you say the great comic thing, I love that too. I mean, that's a part of the fun too, right? Like I've tried to tell somebody else bit again and couldn't do it. And it's laughter from there. Like, look, I can't do it. You had to be there. Like, you know what I mean?
You had to be there.
Yeah, exactly. You had to be there. I can't do this shit exactly how he fucking did it. Yes.
All right. So JB, that was an effective start to getting at this quote. What else you got?
So and Rel is right. This quote mentions perspective as it pertains to humor. So the best and most simple way I can explain how the two relate is this. Someone eats a banana and throws a peel on the goddamn floor. Moments later, someone slips and falls on that goddamn banana peel. And to the person who slipped on the banana peel, that shit ain't funny. That shit ain't motherfucking funny. You thinking, who the fuck threw this bitch on the ground and couldn't just put this shit in the garbage can? The garbage can right fucking there. Hell, you can get really hurt slipping on a goddamn banana peel. But to the person watching that person fall, that shit kind of fucking funny. You know what I mean? That shit fucking hilarious. I mean, once they make sure that motherfucker is all right and they sit back and pitch it in their fucking head, of course that shit's funny, man. They do that shit on cartoons all the fucking time. They do that bitch on cartoons all the fucking time. No. Who the fuck besides a fucking cartoon character slips on a fucking banana peel?
Yeah, that's real talk. Is a banana peel that slippery? You would step on it and squish it. I don't think anybody really slips on a banana peel.
Well, when the banana part is out, I think you can slip on it. Like if it was like a regular banana, like if the banana was still in the peel, then maybe it'd be. But I think once it's gone, it could be slippery.
You gotta be some light stepping, skipping motherfucker to slip on a banana peel. I just think
13 pieces knee man.
Yeah, maybe.
You know who slip on banana peels all the time? Bow-legged motherfuckers. And motherfuckers with pigeon-toed. Like, a pigeon-toed motherfucker is susceptible to fucking slipping on a goddamn banana peel. Because the force of your fucking feet coming together, when you're pigeon-toed, you are susceptible to fucking slipping on a goddamn banana peel. Centrifugal fucking force of your fucking knees and your fucking hips being curvature of the motherfuckers cause you to slip.
Their balance and center of gravity is off from jump. No, like they slip on
shit. It's the bow legness and the pigeon toedness.
Yeah, that center of gravity.
Look at that, Miles. Look at that.
Askew.
Yeah, askew. Fucking askew ass knees fuck you up.
You know what I love about that real quick, about that perspective too? You said some, like, you know, for the person that slipped on it, they're pissed off. To the person that saw it, they think it's funny. But you know what's beautiful about that rule? The rule is check to see if they okay first.
Yes. Yeah.
Then you laugh.
Yeah.
You fucking like, you okay? You good?
Hey, you good? Man, that was hysterical. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
goddamn right.
You gotta ask.
And then you look around. And then you look around and see if you can see a cartoon character nearby. Because you know who dropped that bitch on the ground. See?
Plus, you telling somebody, man, it worked today. It's so funny. This dude slipped on a banana peel. It's hilarious. Was he okay? No, he died. No, he cracked his head. He hit his head hard. It was
terrible
corner
like
of a
that.
Desk. But it's terrible hilarious, like though, up to that moment. Well,
until my son realized he was fucked up for real, I felt bad. God damn.
But that's the whole thing about falling. Are you the type of person, as long as you're okay, we get out, but you fall, do you live in the fall and take the laugh, or do you jump up to act like, I'm okay, I'm good? Like, you don't want to be the butt of the joke.
Exactly.
But that's why they use falls and, like, think about this, right? A fall is so tragic.
Yeah.
But it's
so tragic.
But on film, it's still the funniest. Like, if you see Chris Farley falling through a table, which you don't want to see nobody fall through no table. That's really dangerous. No. But there's like, it's just, I don't know. It's very interesting. Now that I think about it, I don't even know about it like that.
America's Funniest Home Videos lived on old people, other than crotch shots, they lived on old people falling, because old people falling is the most tragic, because they fall forever. They grab curtains and tablecloths, and you know they're going to break their hips in 13 places. But it's just a funny thing to watch. As long as the host says, don't worry, he was okay after all of this, then you can enjoy it.
You enjoy that shit. Here's another thing. If you slip on a fucking banana peel, do you, once you, oh shit, man, that's fucked up. I slipped on a fucking banana peel. Do you pick up the banana peel and get rid of the shit so no one else falls? Or do you leave the bitch there? See? You gotta think about that too. Do you leave that goddamn banana peel there on the ground? Or do you pick the shit up so no one else falls?
Okay, so I'm going to get back to the quote. Humor is all about gaining perspective. Humor returns our gladness. And with gladness comes generosity. Humor returns us to the light and makes us light. So humor returns our gladness. We touched on tragedy and that there's a transformation that can occur with humor to turn tragedy, as long as it's not, you know, serious injury or death, but to transform it. Somebody falls. It's a tragic moment, as Rel said. You could be embarrassed by it, but then you can also find a way to laugh at it and move on from it. And that's what humor does. Animals don't. I don't know that an animal tells a joke when it watches another animal fall. It's a human quality that we've developed to cope with, like, these horrible things. A knee broken in 13 places. You know, his friends came next to him at the doctor's office in the hospital and made jokes. You got to.
Animals tell jokes all the time, Miles. Are you fucking kidding me? They fucking tell jokes. They enjoy the same shit we enjoy, Miles. Animals love to tell jokes. You see a giraffe lean over and tell another giraffe some shit in his ear? You know? They tell shit all the time. These motherfuckers tell jokes. And they stomp their fucking feet. Motherfuckers telling jokes all the fucking time.
All right.
And I heard, one time I was watching an animal show, and a lion had tackled a motherfucking gazelle and was fucking it up. And I swear, I heard that motherfucker go, Heard that motherfucker go,
Okay.
Kidding me, Miles?
You're just proving to me that animals can be sassy. I don't know that they have a sense of humor.
No, that motherfucker found what he was eating very delicious. That's what the fuck I'm trying to tell you, Miles.
I get you.
That motherfucker said,
Well, look, I think you've gotten into the quote. I still think it's not completely there. Let's head to the finish so we don't keep our amazing guest forever. Let's see you bring it to an end, and Rel, please feel free to help guide this thing to a logical conclusion. JB, what you got?
This is the part that people love. This is the part where we reel this bitch in.
Yeah.
Now, everybody out there, you know what the fuck we do. You know we are trying to help your asses, because you need this. And you need the perspective, if I go back to the fucking quote, of several minds, several thoughts, several ways of doing this shit. And this is not the only way to do it. You must process this shit, and then you execute this shit throughout your goddamn life. So, as I mentioned, with the banana peel. Now, to the person falling, that shit ain't funny. At least not at first. But after some time passes, that incident turns into a story that you tell a friend or two. Or maybe you share at a party. At first, the story has more tragic details than a funny one. Now, I think it would have been fucking funny if a motherfucker would walk down the street and slipped on a pan of banana pudding. See, that changes the fucking perspective. This motherfucker that slipped on a goddamn dessert. Now you're thinking, who the fuck would leave a whole banana pudding in the middle of the goddamn fucking sidewalk? Perspective. Some motherfucker left a whole banana cream pie, uneaten, untouched. See? Now, that becomes your fucking fault. Anybody can see a fucking whole pie sitting in the middle of the fucking sidewalk, or a whole fucking pan of fucking banana pudding. It took time to make that motherfucker. A banana pudding is made in layers. You pour the fucking banana cream in that motherfucker, you put the fucking cookies in the bottom of the bitch. That takes time. You stack the banana on top of the motherfucking cookie. Then you put another cookie on top of the banana. Then you put another banana on top of the cookie. See, there's a process to this shit. That's fucking banana pudding. A banana pudding is like an edible fucking skyscraper. You just build a fucking housing project.
Okay, I think you've gone. But I will say this, like, I think...
No, Miles, I'm not going.
Well, no, I just... I will say this, I just think...
Miles, we just talked about perspective.
I know, but I'm giving you this.
Now, from your angle, from another angle, there's a motherfucker coming towards you.
Yeah.
Now, both of you see the banana pudding there, and you both start walking faster. But the motherfuckers didn't know that the ingredients to make the goddamn banana pudding is on the goddamn ground. See, some motherfucker was making a banana pudding and left a fucking bananas on the goddamn sidewalk. And you slipped on a banana trying to get to a fucking banana pudding.
Bro, you just gonna sit there and let all this happen? I tried this.
Well, this is so funny, right? What this really means to reel it in is that it's all about focus.
Okay.
There's no way you should slip on a pan of banana pudding or pie unless you're really not paying attention to what's going on in your surroundings, which a lot of people do. They walk around here like zombies, not paying attention to shit. When you do that, that's how you slip on a banana or possibly a whole pan of banana pudding or full-blown banana cream pie.
Right.
You know.
Lasagna. Big thing of lasagna.
See? The story
pot of soup.
The story becomes more elaborate. When you tell that bitch when you spread the word and tell motherfuckers that, they're gonna be like, what? Then they got questions off the fucking question. See? You say, what the fuck is a banana pudding doing on the goddamn sidewalk? And then the person who's reciprocating the fucking story was like, God damn, you're right. Who the fuck made a perfectly good banana pudding and left the bitch on the goddamn sidewalk for a motherfucker to step in it and slip in that bitch?
And I would say Miss Wilkins, she's a little crazy and she does it once a week. But I would say this, that I think
Is it more tragic? Is it more tragic? Because a full, delectable fucking banana pudding as opposed to a peel that nobody fucking eats.
I want to throw this out there to tee it up to get us to the end. Look, I think what's amazing about that is that to me that's humor in a nutshell, right? That the ability to take a banana peel and turn it into banana pudding is what a comedian does, is to take the grounded, real thing and exaggerate it to a point where something that was tragic becomes light. And that is, humor returns us to the light and makes us light. That a comedian says, you recognize this, right? Here's the exaggeration that we can all laugh at and bring us all together. A banana peel becomes banana pudding. That's what I get from that.
That's fucking exactly, Miles.
That's going, great.
Miles, sometimes you fucking beat me to the punch. You start to see which parts of the story generates laughs. The story changes a bit. It gets funnier and fucking funnier when you break down the goddamn banana pudding, the ingredients, how many goddamn boxes of cookies you needed, how many bushels of fucking bananas you needed to make that shit, the fucking cream that you pour on top of the bitch. As a story you had about something painful becomes one designed to make you fucking laugh and fucking heal. And humor has that power. Once offered as a gift with no strings attached beyond laughter, it has the ability to fucking heal, join, and regenerate. Built into humor is its ability to offer gladness, going back to the goddamn quote, and shine in the fucking light. And for where I'm standing, that's pretty damn beautiful. God damn it, man.
See what he did? See what he did?
That was great. Let me give JB his props too, right?
Yeah.
That was proof of the art of milking a joke. Like, I learned how to milk a joke watching this guy. That is how I done it. That's how I learned. You know, one of my favorite bits he's ever done was him getting into a fight, and this dude beat him up all the way to his grandmother's house. Then he hits the grandmother. It's insane. But that is what this does. Like, if you really, like, just wring out whatever you can get out that bit. And I'm talking about, I've seen him do it different ways. Every time I've seen it, it's been different. And so, like, you know, I just want to give you that props, man. Like, you know, the way my humor is set up is literally based off watching this dude. Chicago, we would all be comics in the back of the room. If JB's in town, we almost was full of comics in the room. It wasn't even about the crowd. And be back there dying. But this dude would milk a joke. That's how I learned how to milk a joke is from JB Smooth.
Hell yeah, my man. Yes, indeed, brother. You know, and that's using the different perspectives that we talk about. You know, we use our ears just as much as we use our mouths to speak. We listen to what in particular you're laughing at. Whether it's our mannerisms, whether it's our delivery, our fucking timing, our fucking milking, our fucking execution of the fucking joke, we're using our ears to dictate that. And that is, that's the part that, where the gladness becomes the generosity, you know? And your humor returns your gladness. Once they are glad, they laugh and they're giving it to you, you get gladness of knowing this shit is working. Now you can drive that fucking vehicle any way you want to goddamn drive that goddamn vehicle. Woo!
And I just want to say, as fans of both of you guys, your comedy is just the type, as well as you said, is your goal. It's what it is. It just brings joy. I maintain that all comedy has a victim. There's got to be a victim in there, but both of you, the victim is the experience, and we laugh at it. It's never a person. It's never a target. It's a moment. It's an experience. And that's something we can all, like, get together and laugh to, because it's a shared experience that we all know. And then you guys masterfully exaggerate it to the, and as you said, and milk the hell out of it for all the comedic contents and take away all the seriousness of it. So we all got serious at the end of this one.
Oh, man, we gave it to the ass.
Hey, man, I think we got to end the show. JB, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Back to the banana pudding, right?
Thanks for joining us on another episode of May I Elaborate. Sound wisdom from JB Smooth. I want to give a special thanks to Workman Publishing for letting us borrow from the calendar. Keep calm and carry on. But I want to give an even special thanks to the one, the only, Laurel! As always, we hope you had a good time and maybe were even inspired along the way. Before you go, please leave us a comment along with a great review and rating on Apple Podcasts. And also, please leave your favorite quotes and questions for Ask JB there as well. Or you can send them to us at mayielaborate@gmail.com. We will definitely be looking at those and featuring some of them on the show. Also, be on the lookout for some special celebrity guest friends of JB. You heard one today, Laurel. He was amazing. It doesn't get any better than this. Clearly, you can hear those episodes. Are always a lot of fun. And tell a friend about our podcast. Why don't you? Don't be stingy and keep it all yourself. Once again, I'm Miles, and he's JB Smooth, and he's Laurel Howery, and I'm Miles. See you next time.
This has been a Team Coco production.